another episode of Self-Directed. Today is a very special episode. I know I say that every time, but that's because I bring on great guests, and today is no different. Very excited about two guests today, Seth and Lauren Marlowe. Lauren is a Praxis alumna from a couple years ago. We're joined by Seth, her dad, as well. We got an awesome conversation today. Seth and Lauren, welcome to Self-Directed.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Yep. I'm excited as well. So how this all came to be, Seth shot me an email the other day, a big update, sharing a Facebook post that he posted about, you know, kind of a rant on higher education, the choice of what to do after high school, and also an awesome career update from Lauren. And we started emailing back and forth and set this up because I think there's just so many awesome nuggets of conversation here, of conversations you all have had over the years. Leading up to that decision of what to do after high school. But before we get into that, there's so much we want to cover there. Before we get into that, Lauren, I'd love to hear more about the new job, how you landed that new job, how it's going so far.
Yeah, so I have been basically looking for a big job at a global company, something I can really put on my resume, something I can grow with, something I can be challenged by. And so I started looking right around when the pandemic happened. So almost a year ago. And, you know, I found multiple companies online. I would apply to them. I would get ghosted, or I would apply to them. And then there was one or two interviews I had and they fell through. But eventually, you know, I'm somebody who always responds to recruiters on LinkedIn. No matter, even if I'm happy in my job or, you know, really feeling it, whatever, I will always make sure to respond. Hey, thank you for reaching out. You know, I'm happy right now, but I'll keep you in mind in the future. So I kind of keep people a little bit on my back burner in case I need that. And I had somebody come to me and, you know, we just had a phone conversation. He was like, what are you looking for? I told him, you know, I want 100% remote. I want to be challenged by this company. I want, you know, somebody who's very design focused, that really values design. And basically about a month later, he sent me a couple jobs that were open, and one of them happened to be United Airlines. And this is in November. So I was like, oh, that's awesome. Like that's like exactly what I would want. I'm a huge fan of traveling and everything. So I would love to learn more about this industry. So you know, one thing led to another. We talked about it. You know, he was talking to his connection there. We set up an interview in December, right around Christmas time. And it was 3 hours long and it was really challenging. And six people or five people interviewed me at first. And then I waited about 2 or 3 weeks to hear back because it was around the holidays. It was busy. And they said they really wanted me, but they were going to put me somewhere else that they didn't expect. So I had to interview with that team lead. So I was like, oh, okay, that's good news. But it's also like, oh man, you know, now I got to do another interview. So I had one more interview. It was only an hour long this time. And I really loved the team. And I think they felt the same way because I got an offer 2 days later. That's awesome. So then I just started last week and I've really loved it so far. You know, it's been great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you're entirely self-taught, like the skill set that you use day in, day out, you're mostly self-taught. I don't know. You're taking some courses, I imagine as well, but.
Yeah. I took a 10-week boot camp in Toronto. Like I literally just packed a suitcase, got a 3-month Airbnb and went to school there in person. And after that 10 weeks were up, I just kind of kept at it. I would spend maybe an hour a day because I was waiting tables right after that. I'd spend maybe an hour a day reading articles or doing design challenges or kind of working on a friend's company's website or something. You know, I was working for free just to build up my portfolio and show that I could do what I was saying I could do.
That's awesome. Has it ever come up in the hiring process or in this hiring process in particular? Do you ever run into any hurdles where it was like, we're looking for very formal credentials or how do you navigate those kind of conversations? Because it sounds like you've had wild success by blazing your own trail, which is awesome. But I know a lot of people have that fear of, well, if I don't have the credentials, it's going to impact me for the rest of your life. How have you navigated that?
Right. I think a lot of people have those fears. I hear it all the time from people my age. And especially back when I was in high school, they were like, you'll never get a job if you don't have a degree. I was like, you just wait. But basically, I got my first job straight out of Praxis from Praxis at a startup. And so startups are really, they definitely care the least about that kind of stuff. They want somebody young and ready to work and ready to wear a bunch of hats and everything. And so that one, I didn't run into a problem. The next job I went into was finance. I worked for a credit union for about a year and a half. They never really cared either. I don't think I've ever been asked what my GPA is or where I went to school or anything. And then with United, nobody brought it up in the interview. Nobody asked me, hey, I looked at your resume and you didn't go to school. I actually brought it up in the interview. I was like, so I'm a little different than maybe your typical candidate. And I explained my background. And all of them loved it. Actually, the biggest thing I heard from my recruiter afterwards was they loved your background. They love what you did. So I was like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Coming from such a giant, corporation kind of thing. Yep. You don't really expect that feedback. But actually, my manager, she also went to a design boot camp. So we have that in common. I think that's really cool. And they were signing me up with onboarding and everything. And I'm talking to the girl, who's doing all the onboarding. And she's like, so I'm required to put in 5 years of your work history. So 5 years ago, you were in high school? I was like, yeah, I was actually. So that was like, I had to kind of laugh to myself, but I thought that was so ironic. I'm like, wonder what she's thinking. Wow, gosh, that was a first,
Yeah.
it's funny. It's funny because she actually called me and told me the story, Mitchell. And so she said at the end of the call, she said, okay, so I'm just going to put in that 5 years ago, you were in high school. Okay. That's what we'll do.
She's like, and you didn't attend like any college at all. And I was like, I did 3 different programs, but no, then none of them are like your typical college experience. I didn't even attend a freshman year and drop out, nothing like that. So
that's awesome. It's awesome that that's the reaction, and that's a great story to keep in your back pocket. Yes. But it's also funny because it kind of surprises me too that you said the reaction is like, we love your background. And I love what you said. You're like, I brought it up. Nobody asked me, which I think, first of all, kudos, awesome play. Always address the elephant in the room before anybody can ask about it, if you think about it. But I love that, just the sense that I get is your attitude is not, I have a deficiency because I don't have this.
Right.
It's like, if anything, I have more confidence, which is awesome. And I think that, so many other people are looking for that confidence in telling their story. And so I love you sharing yours and that example. And what I really want to get into is, where did this all start? Let's rewind the clock. And I know you have tons of thoughts on this about where this all started, but let's rewind the clock to, where did this all begin? Where did these conversations about, hey, what are we going to do next after high school? Was it something that, you and Lauren arrived at independently? Was it a collaboration? Were you already kind of thinking of a path to push your kids down as they got older? Like, where did your thoughts about higher education, not as like what to do for yourself, but as a parent, where did those start, being formed?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of that background, and then that'll probably take us up to, I'm pretty sure Lauren and I both have the same data point for when the mutual conversation started between she and I. But for me, it started when Lauren was maybe 7 or 8 years old. I read a book called The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman. And it was the first time that I actually started to go, wow, the world really is changing just based on the really rapid evolution of the internet. And it gave me 3 takeaways. And I just so vividly remembering this book. And the first one was that access to information is just exploding. Like it's happening almost on a daily basis that anyone's going to be able to learn anything from anywhere. The second thing was, as a person who worked in a business, a little bit of that and a little bit of thinking about my kids, you will not compete locally anymore. You're going to compete globally. And that was interesting to me. And then the third thing is that things are evolving very quickly, especially if you read a lot about history. A person could live their whole life and really everything that surrounds themselves in their life doesn't change a whole lot, right? They farm and they haggle for goods and stuff. But now in 2005, it was like, wow, things are changing immediately. And so the way that I even was brought up, and I was born in 1970, I'm going to have to change the way that I bring my daughters up.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing where it really hit me. And then the second thing where it really hit me was Lauren had started high school, and I came across, you called my email, my Facebook post a rant, which is accurate. And I came across a
huge fan.
Yeah. I came across a longer version of a rant called Stop Stealing Dreams from Seth Godin. And 200 pages maybe. And like the first 120 pages kind of made the point, and the last 80 was just him continuing to make the point by ranting. But I just remember reading it, and the essence of it was, it was titled, What is School For? And it really got into how school was invented and how it's really boiled everything down to a simple question of, is this going to be on the test? And it's like, it's taken the spirit of learning. And the reason he titled it Stop Stealing Dreams was we're stealing the creativity from our children with this system, and we're boiling everything down to a test. Yep. And giving them information, asking them to regurgitate it. So I read it and I sent it to Lauren on a Saturday morning, not expecting her to read it. This is a 15-year-old freshman in high school. And a few hours later, she came downstairs and said, that blew my mind and I'm not going to go to college. So
I ate that book. I ate it.
Yeah.
I hope you were prepared for that.
Yeah.
I'm prepared. By that point in time, I was prepared for anything with Lauren.
Yep.
Honestly. So I don't know how surprised I was that she came down and said that, but from the standpoint, I didn't want to tell her what I think. I sent it to her. And mm-hmm. when she came down and had that visceral reaction, like that's when this really got serious and all started.
That's awesome. Where did it go? Where did you go from there? I mean, if at 15, you're a freshman in high school, Lauren, and you're like, I'm not going to go to college, that changes the target that the average, high school students who is thinking, farther than the next couple of days ahead, the things on their mind are, I got to get these test scores. I got to get my GPA. I got to go to apply mm-hmm. to all these schools. I got to do all these, all these hoops that I got to jump through before I start my life. What targets were you aiming at? What were the things you spent in your time doing?
I really wanted to just learn whatever made me happy. Mm-hmm. So, some high schools, they do this thing where you can take two classes on your senior year and take the other two blocks you would have normally had class and go home and have a half day. And a lot of my friends did that. But I actually was like, I looked at it as, this is the last time you'll ever have free education.
Yeah.
So I took classes that I really wanted to take. I actually ended up taking AP microeconomics because I was interested about it. I was, I took AP psychology, which really translated well into designing. I was taking German. I was taking classes that I was truly interested in, and I wasn't worried about what my grade would be. Mm-hmm. I was just focused on, finding out more about myself and building relationships with teachers that I liked there, or just doing whatever I wanted in a sense. And one thing led to another. I think I started taking a web design course my junior year. And then after that, I was like, oh, this is cool. That same teacher was like, you should take my entrepreneurship class. And I was like, okay. So I took that and I loved it. And I don't know, like I actually enjoyed school so much more after I stopped worrying about, oh, you got to get an A, you got to get a B. My report card would come out and I'd be like, oh, okay. It just wasn't a big deal to me anymore.
Yeah. That's
awesome. A couple things. And Lauren, make sure I don't speak for you this incorrectly. One, I don't think you even took the SAT or the ACT, or did you?
I was required to take the ACT. It was at school. And I never took my SAT.
Yeah.
Which did worry my grandparents.
I bet.
Tremendously. That's what I was about to say. Like my parents just could not believe that she, like, what if she decides she wants to go to college? And I'm like, no, trust me, she's not.
Yeah.
I know her. She's not. I think the other thing too, is you did, especially I think as you got maybe into your sophomore year, early in your junior year, you did start to spend time. Your target was, okay, now what am I going to do when I graduate? like, I'm not going to go to college, but I'm not just going to go work at a, you know, at a restaurant, wait tables all for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make something of myself. So what was your mindset then? And then you came across, that wasn't when she did Praxis, by the way, she did Praxis later, but she came across a program called UnCollege.
Right, yeah, I found UnCollege right around the same time that I had read Stop Stealing Dreams. I think it was literally like a week or two later or something. And this is, so what happened is I read the website, and it was basically a program split into three sections. The first section is you go live in a developing country mm-hmm. and you volunteer. So you could choose between Mexico, Brazil, Bali, Indonesia, India, and... there was one more. I can't remember. Oh, well, but there was four or five, and I chose Bali, Indonesia, because I could teach English there. It was a remote village. It was awesome. I was like, oh, I get to live at the beach. You know, I get to be on literally the other side of the world. It was a 12-hour time difference. I was sold on that. The next step after you complete the volunteering in a developing country is you go and live in San Francisco for another 10 weeks. And you live in a dorm with kids. There was other kids in my dorm building that were in like web developer programs or other kind of like similar boot camps and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. I still talk to some of those kids that I lived with, and they're all doing really cool things. Like some of them work at Google or, you know, whatever. And then after that, the third part was the second part was living in San Francisco. You learned soft skills. So you learned how to email people. You learned how to set up a LinkedIn, like actually people who worked at LinkedIn came and taught us how to set up your LinkedIn profile. I had a life coach, and we would sit down every Tuesday and we would talk about the things I wanted to do that week. And it could be anything you wanted. It was like, hey, you're interested in music and you're interested in making videos. Why don't you make a YouTube video and publish it? Or you're interested in marketing and packaging design. Why don't you start taking note of different packages you really like doing? Or why don't you mock up something? I was taking a lot of online courses. I was still pursuing learning German. I finished all of Duolingo for German at the time. And then from there on, the third phase was you kind of just go off on your own. You apply those skills and you still have your life coach who you can talk to and call and stuff. But I ended up kind of just running. I went directly from UnCollege to a UX UI, that boot camp in Toronto. Yeah. So that's kind of how I spent my third part of what would have been UnCollege, and I kind of hijacked it and was like, you know what? No, I want to get hard skills. Let me go learn UX and UI because this seems like it might be the right thing for me, because I was dabbling in like graphic design and packaging design. And after talking to some mentors and stuff, she was like, hey, you should look into this industry. It's up and coming. It's awesome. You know, I'm self-taught. My husband's self-taught. We both work in this. And that kind of really made me pivot. And from there, you know, there was no looking back.
Yeah.
And I think if you want to spend a little time on this, Mitchell, because I think there's two things that I observed as a parent that they were helping her with during those first few months after mm-hmm. high school graduation. Three things, actually. One was they were really helping her figure out what, like this combination of, this was in the Facebook post, what are you good at?
Yep.
What are some of your innate skills that you're just good at? But you might be good at something and not actually like doing it. Like I grew up, my mom was a math teacher. I was born, I was good at math, but I actually didn't like learning math. Yep. And I didn't want to be a math teacher, right? So just because I'm good at math doesn't mean that's a skill I need to turn into a career. What are you good at? Of those things you're good at, what do you really enjoy learning and that you want to continue to get better at? And then what are the career? Let me help you understand the different career options for people who are good at those things. Yep. So I was observing that happen, which I thought was really, really cool. And the second thing they were doing is, I still remember one specific story was a thing called rejection therapy, where yes. they basically had her go out on the streets of San Francisco with another person. They recorded you and you had to just walk up to random people and ask them things, like walk up to somebody standing on a streetlight and go, hey, when it turns green, you want to race?
Yeah.
And the goal was you had to see what caused somebody to say no.
Yeah.
And what she learned was, if you just ask, almost everybody says yes. She only got two no's the whole time. And I just thought that was the coolest exercise. I remember telling her, they are teaching you the stuff that's really going to matter.
Yeah.
And then the third and last thing they did a really good job of is what she mentioned. They were teaching her, as someone who's an executive and interviews and hires people, they were teaching her how to talk about herself.
Yep.
How to write an email, how to write a resume, how to interview and not sell yourself in a cheesy way. How to present yourself in a way that I can provide value to your organization.
Yep.
So that's what I most remember her getting out of that program.
One of the biggest situations, they were like, you never know. You could be, because this was right around when like Uber pool and Lyft carpool stuff was starting to really like be really popular. And they were like, you never know. You could get in a Lyft pool with somebody who works at Facebook and you got 2 minutes to like pitch yourself to them or whatever. Like, They had us prepare a 30-second pitch, a 5-minute pitch, a 1-minute pitch, and you would practice it, they did mock interviews with us. I also just learned like how to better communicate with people. They taught us like, hey, these are difficult conversations. This is how you should go about being a really good communicator and addressing issues that you need to address. Like, it was just a great foundation of soft skills that I use. Pretty much, I mean, one of those skills every single day.
Yeah, I love that. All of those things are great, but what I love most about it, I think, is shifting the mindset to an awareness of the serendipity of life, where it's like, you know, I think one of the hurdles in traditional education, I know I felt this earlier on, is that you have this pressure to feel like you have to have a perfect plan for how everything is going to go. Versus the serendipity of like, hey, you may be you never know what opportunity is going to spring up. You should be ready for that versus
wait.
And then one day you're going to be ready and have a stamp. And now it's time to go start your life. And I like that because it seems small, but I think it's such a hurdle when you're first starting out, especially if you're coming out of school, to recognize that there are opportunities all the time and you don't have to just wait till you're at the end of the conveyor belt to suddenly enter life. And so that's a fun thing. Question rejection therapy it just takes me back to like my first, you know, several years of grueling sales jobs too, but I was told no most of the time. So
I tried to tell her at the time, like I was dealing with rejection therapy every day in seventh grade. I was 5 years ahead of you. So you're nothing special.
Yeah. That's
like, awesome. I got told no all the time too, Mitchell. Yeah. So clear.
Yeah. Yeah. We all had that phase. Lauren, another question I'm curious about is at what point did you begin to develop some clarity about design specifically? Was that always something where there were clues prior to, or did you have a hunch about that? Or was that like later on after you got some exposure? When did that happen for you?
I think because when I was 15, I started getting into that mindset of like, what are you going to do? You know, you might start your career when you're 20, you never know. So what do you want to do? I was that kid who was on Microsoft Paint, you know, in their free time. I'm somebody who pays attention to billboards and signs and menus. And I mean, design is everywhere. And I'm somebody who kind of like notices those things. Like I'll go to a restaurant.
To a restaurant. She's like, the font of the menu is terrible. And I'm like, you are such a dork, man. Whatever. Just order something.
I'm a total like geek when it comes to design. Like, but I didn't want to code. That's the thing. So I tried coding. Oh. I took a coding course in high school and I was like, this is just like, it doesn't excite me. Yep. And I thought that I had to know how to code to be a web designer. So that made me think like, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I need to do like graphic design and I'll make advertisements and I'll make stuff like that. Or maybe I'll make like, cereal boxes or, you know, something like that. Like, so that was my first step was to do that. Cause I thought I had to code, but then, trial and error, you go through it. And then I had a coffee date with a mentor. I was talking about her earlier, the one who was self-taught. we were in San Francisco and she worked at a really cool agency, and, you know, Uncollege set me up to go to coffee with her. And I was telling her, like, yeah, you know, I'm really interested in like typography and psychology, and I think I want to do packaging design because it's really cool that you have certain like requirements of, you got to label certain things on it, and there's so many different colors you can use, and, you know, it's kind of like art with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, during that, she sat me down I'm not saying it clicked for me, because I actually took an intro to UX design class and I was like, I'll never do this. I don't know if I just had a bad teacher or whatever, or maybe the exercise wasn't exciting, but I definitely wasn't certain. In fact, when I got home from San Francisco, I was still learning what UX and UI was, user experience design, user interface design. I didn't even know what it was. I didn't know the difference between the two, none of that. So I was like on YouTube, like, what is the difference between UX and UI? And, you know, there's content out there to find it. So from there, I literally made a spreadsheet I was up till 5 a.m. one night because I was just so pumped on this. And I'd made a spreadsheet of all my options of different design boot camps. Some of them were a bit more graphic design based. Some of them were more UX based. Some of them were a good mixture of the two. And, you know, and they were all over the world. One was in Chicago, one was in New York, one was in Toronto, one was in London. Like, they were all over. And I was like, oh my God, what, you know, what am I going to do? But one thing led to another. I narrowed it down. I chose the one in Toronto because it was cheaper. It was actually very cheap. It was like $5,000 for 10 weeks, which is crazy in my mind.
And that was full time, you know? And so I remember waking up that morning, walking past her bedroom. She'd only been home a few days, and she got up. She's like, I was up until 5 and made a spreadsheet, Dad. Here's all the options for where I can go do a UX UI bootcamp. And I'm like, just relax.
Could you chill?
Just dial it back.
But that's just not her.
Yeah.
So really, I would say, Lauren, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think she went off to Toronto knowing I am going to be a UX UI designer, period. I think she went off and did that. And it's part of the mindset that I think she and I developed together, and her sister, is go try it.
Yeah.
Like, go do this for 10 weeks. And if you leave there and you hate it, okay, it's a few thousand dollars. It's still less than half. It's probably half what I would have paid for a semester to send you to college. You get to go hang out and chill out in Toronto and be in a different
country.
I got
to live in the trendiest neighborhood in Toronto.
Right.
So cool.
And if it doesn't turn out being the right thing, all right, you and I will get back together and we'll find the next thing.
Yep.
And so she's like, okay, then I'm going to go do that. And I think within a few weeks, you could tell she's like, I love this. Like, this
just fits me. I had a moment where it fit. We were on a group. It was a group project. I was the youngest person in the school in their whole history. And I was in the second cohort of the UX bootcamp. And I think they had a web dev bootcamp also going on at the same time. They were probably in their third or fourth cohort. So it was a kind of a new school, new concept, new thing, you know? And I think week two, we were in a group project and I'm with, you know, maybe some dude in his 30s and then some guy in his 50s and then some girl in her 20s. And I was just in this very diverse group. I mean, people from all over the world were taking this course. There was people from Indonesia or Australia, or there was one other person from the US. There's a ton of people from Canada. So it was really cool, like very diverse. I felt like it was very realistic to what the work world is like. Mm-hmm. And I felt like on this first project that we were trying to solve food waste, and I was pitching ideas and, you know, drawing stuff and putting it all together. And I felt like all these people who are older than me in the group were almost looking to me for guidance or like bouncing ideas off of me. And I was like, wow, you know, I could be good at this. It kind of clicked for me that week. I remember texting him or calling him or whatever that day when I got home. And I was like, yep. I love this. It really, I think this is perfect for me. I think my brain is perfect for this. You know, so it just, I did have that like click moment. Yeah. I will say.
That's awesome. At what point, you know, after that, you know, it took some time. What was that, about a year out of college or a year out of high school?
Yeah,
She graduated in June. Yeah.
Okay. So
not quite 8 months
through March.
Okay.
Not quite a year after, like 8 months after I graduated from high school.
So 8 months after high school, you kind of have this click moment. Hey, this is the thing that I might be good at, that I could see myself doing.
Yep.
How long between then and you going and landing your first kind of, you know, first real experience, whether that was like a contract or first job in that type of position?
So first big girl job. When'd you get your first big girl job, Lauren?
Well, not just big girl, but relevant to this area that you got really excited about.
Yeah. So basically I was on my last couple weeks at Toronto and I tried to get a visa to live in Canada because there's so many startups in Toronto. I really loved, you know, I loved it there. I thought it was really cool. So I applied for a visa and I was like, maybe I'll try to get a job here. You know, cause I was networking there too. We had a demo day on our last day at the boot camp and I was, you know, I think they made us business cards and I was passing it out and I was adding people on LinkedIn left and right. And I was like, oh, maybe, you know, I'll build my network here and I'll start out here. But I couldn't get the visa. So I had to come home. And kind of in the back end, after I got denied for the visa, my mom actually found Praxis on like a Facebook ad or something. And she was like, oh, this is really cool. So she sent it to my dad. The two of them were like, oh, this is a, you know, this is a great idea. Cause that's what I needed. I was like, I got the soft skills. I got the hard skills, yep. But it's so hard to land your first job with no experience. You know, it's really hard to convince people that you can do what you said you can do. And, you know, I was like, I really need help getting landing a job. So I came back in March of 2017. I got accepted into Praxis in July and I'd started waiting tables in like April of that year. And so I was just like waiting tables. I was coming home and maybe putting an hour a day towards learning more UX. Cause you really can't learn it all in 10 weeks. And, I started the October cohort of Praxis. So I actually went to Atlanta and met everybody in person, which was awesome.
Awesome.
Because Praxis is pretty remote, but, that was really cool. I was very impressed by all the mentors and the workshops that they held and I knew it would be a great fit. And I had high hopes that they would find me a company that would be a really good fit for me. And so I kind of went through all the modules and all the, you know, everything that Praxis was asking for, a 30-day blog challenge. That was so challenging, but I'm so glad I did it. You know, stuff like that was cool. And then I interviewed with like two or three companies that Praxis had kind of sent my way. And Remine was a real estate tech company located in Fairfax, Virginia, which at first when I read that, I was like, I'll never live there. Like, where is that? Like, I'm not doing that. And then I looked it up on a map and zoomed out. I was like, oh, okay, DC area. Got you. So, you know, that went rather quickly. And I just packed up my car. I found an apartment in Virginia, in Arlington, about 20 minutes away from Fairfax and about 20 minutes away from DC, right in the middle. I just drove my car up and started over again. You know,
that was late January. Like it was right at the end of January 2018. So
yeah, that was January 2018.
Yeah. So from the end of the boot camp to the starting the first job was 10 months.
So not quite 2 years out of high school, you land this new, you know, your first kind of big, you know, adult job.
I was 20 years old. I was 20 years old and I was super young. And
What was that like? What was that like? One, going into the workplace. Two, like just thinking about your relation to all of your peers in the world. I'm 20. I'm doing this awesome thing already. Here's what everybody else is doing. Was that challenging? Was it exciting? Did you feel confident? Did you feel alone? What was going through your head?
All of those things. I felt super excited. But I felt, you know, I was so lonely. I was, you know, being the youngest person, I didn't really know that many. I mean, frankly, I really didn't know many other people who were doing the same thing I was doing. So it's not like I could, you know, vent to somebody and they would understand it, you know, based off of my friends in high school and stuff. I remember so much of that time. Like, yeah, it sounds awesome and how I've explained it. And yeah, it was awesome, but it was so challenging. It really was. It's really not for the faint of heart to just live in four cities in a matter of a year and a half to 2 years. Starting over in DC was hard too, because I didn't know a soul.
Yep.
I had to start all over again. And now it all works out. Now I love it. I love all my friends are like 5 to 10 years older than me at this point, but I really love that. I think they've helped, just surrounding myself by challenges constantly has made mm-hmm. me grow a lot as a person, as a worker, as a designer. And hopefully one day I could be a good mentor for somebody who finds themselves in those same shoes of feeling excited and isolated and, nervous and anxious and everything.
Yeah, that's awesome. I can relate to so many of those emotions, like going out and doing something crazy and different, your practice as well. But I think it's good to paint that reality though. I think right. there's sometimes this tendency to get flippant about, well, if you don't go to college, you can go do this other thing and discount all of the hard work that goes in behind the scenes for the people that do go make the most of doing mm-hmm. something different, blazing their own trail, and not just, hey, I had to work hard and build these skills, but the emotional toll that sometimes it can take whenever you do something different, not just dropping out of college, anytime you go do something different than the norms.
Right.
And I want to rewind the clock a little bit before that too, back to those early conversations of, I'm not going to go to college. And Dad, I'd love to hear both of your opinions on this and your own experiences and perspectives on this from that point, through the future to you landing your first job to now where you're at. You've had tremendous success. What has been the dialogue, that surrounded you, those hurdles that I imagine the inevitable stone throwers of, you're not going to go to college. What, what were you up against and how did you cope with that? Did, have people changed their tones? Do you even care? Walk me through that over the past, handful of years.
You want me to go first or you, Lauren?
Go ahead. I can add more later. I have so much on this. I'll rather
you'll make
first.
What I say better.
Yeah.
What I say better. Is that
I'll polish it off for you.
Yeah, polish it off for me. Yeah. I mean, I think once she kind of came downstairs that day and said, okay, I'm not going to college again. It wasn't like, oh my God, what do I do? I was like, wow, that's really cool that she is already thinking that way. Did I think she would really stick with that 100% all the way through? No, I figured she'd go back and forth. So she never wavered. Thought she was a quitter. She just never wavered. It was more of a constant. I think our dialogue was just a lot of just constant, just talking about it. What are the options? That type of thing. And one thing she has said to me many times is, yes, if it hadn't been that you and Mom, not only like, we're like, okay, I guess if that's what you're going to do, but it was more like, no, you encouraged me to do it. You gave me confidence to do it. You told me this is the right thing. If it hadn't been for that, it would have been much more difficult. Mm-hmm. And then she might have wavered back because she was getting a constant amount of doubt. Guidance counselors, teachers, parents of friends across the board. And we were too. It's kind of like when you are a parent of a 17-year-old starting about junior year, every freaking conversation that you enter into somebody says, oh, hey, I'm Seth. What's your name? Oh, I'm Bob. Hey, Bob. It gets to, oh, do you have any kids? Yeah, I have a daughter, two daughters, 17 to 14. Oh, 17-year-old. Where's she thinking about going to school? Every single time.
Yep.
Well, where's she going to college? Well, actually, she's decided not to go to college. Interesting. Well, college isn't for everyone.
Good luck
that
with
was
that.
Like, Lauren, how many times did we hear that? College isn't for everyone.
If I had a dollar.
For every time. Well, college isn't for everyone. And the last thing I'll say is that it was very rarely met with any genuine curiosity. Mm-hmm. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
Your child has decided not to go to college. Like, tell me more about that. It just, there was never curiosity about it. It was much more of a, well, you guys are making a huge mistake, but it's your life.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it was, I think that we had a lot of conversation and dialogue about, Lauren, this is what I'm hearing and what you're going to hear. Don't listen to it. Okay. Don't listen to it. You stick with what you have decided to do, and you will, you know, together, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, my guidance counselor all throughout, like, so my freshman year, I'd kind of decided like, yeah, I'm not going to college. So you meet with your guidance counselor when you're picking your classes for the next year. So the end of freshman year, we meet, and he's like, you know, this will be good for college, this and that. And I was like, I'm not going to college. He's like, you doing military school? No. Are you going to do a trade school? No. What are you going to do? I'll figure it out. I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to do these programs or whatever. He's like, are you sure about that? You know? And I was like, yeah, totally sure. And then the next year, same thing, still not going to college, you know? And at one point I had a one-on-one with my school principal. I can't remember why I had a one-on-one, but she, somehow we got into the conversation. Hey, what are you thinking about for college or whatever? And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. She's like, oh my God, don't waste your potential. You have such, you know, you have great grades. I heard, you know, good things from your teachers, this and that. Don't waste your potential. I was like, oh, I won't. Trust me. Like, see me, like, see me in 5 years. Like, I, for some reason, I like, you know, I was 17, so I thought I knew everything. I still think I know.
Yeah. We've all been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Yeah, I was like, I'm untouchable, you know. But you know, and I had friends, well, I parents, I'd go over for dinner. Laura,
I hear you say that. Like what we heard a lot of is, you know, well, college isn't for everyone. That was the standard thing. And then what's funny is that once she went to DC, landed that first role, and again, people were still asking, oh, you have a daughter who's 20. Oh, where's she in college? Well, she chose not to go to college. Oh, well, that's interesting. Well, what is she doing? I'm like, well, she just started her first job at a tech startup. She's a UX UI designer. And so the only curiosity that you would get then, if people, and especially for people who knew us or knew Lauren, was, well, Lauren's that's an outlier. That's what works for her. But for most people, this is what needs to be done. And I just don't agree with that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just think I don't agree with that line of thinking. I think I would encourage, if I had a word of advice almost for parents, is instead of college isn't for everyone, due to the investment of 4 years and the cost, I would say start to change your mindset to college is only for some people.
Yeah.
Like instead of defaulting to 4 years and $100,000, you should go through a process of looking at all of your options, including college. Yeah. And based on what your child really wants to do or needs or how they're wired or how they roll, and you land on college is the right thing, 4 years and $100,000, go for it.
Yeah.
But don't make that the default answer, because there are so many paths that are available.
Well, yeah. And sometimes you don't even have an idea of what's even possible yet. And it's a very deliberate strategy when, you know, this is to steal another book that if you haven't read, I think you'd enjoy. It's called How Will You Measure Your Life by Clayton Christensen. But he talks about college and higher education as this very deliberate strategy. As people who go with a very, you know, intentional idea of what they want, it's a deliberate strategy at a time in your life when it's maybe better to be using an emergent strategy, to be going out in the real world and running experiments and trying things and figuring out, you know, getting some validation for these hunches you have. Hey, I like this. Like what you were talking about is like, I didn't even know what I wanted to do yet. I had this kind of scatter plot of things that interested in me. And then once you got in and ran some experiences, you had that aha moment. Oh my gosh, this is what I could see myself doing. And until you have that, sometimes the cost of college is even higher than the financial toll and the foregone experience and you know, foregone earnings or whatever, because you're wasting time that you could have been getting more information out of, more clarity right. from. And that's personally my biggest qualm with it is I wasted so much time. I had a very clear idea of what I wanted going into college, and I immediately got in and was like, oh my gosh, I've never really thought about it. I just said the most impressive sounding thing because it got people off my back. And now I don't know what I want to do with my life. And so here, you know, 4 years and a lot of beers later, you know, I walked out with really no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And it was like starting over. But it's just so funny that kind of status quo has become everybody's okay with that, as opposed to like, why don't you spend the next few years just figuring out what you want to do? And at the end of that, you arrive at the point that, hey, college is the best way to get there. Great. That's great. You have at least some clarity to get there. So,
yeah. Well, and one thing I'd love to add to that, Mitchell.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I think this is really important, is that because she made that decision at 15, for the next 3 to 3.5 years, it's not that she didn't do what people told her, right? Like, yeah, her teachers liked her. I mean, she's a respectful person. I'm not going to allow my kid to be an asshole.
Good.
But what I'm getting at is her mindset immediately shifted as, I need to learn what I need to do. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to poke around. I'm going to try things. And I think without that mindset, what school has turned too many kids into is, I just do what I'm told. Mm-hmm. I follow the directions. You know, I try to make good grades. I get into a college. I follow those directions. I sign up for the classes. I pick a major and I come out of college. And then, okay, now what? And what I continually observe with Lauren is she has just got a, again, it's not that she doesn't respect what people tell her. That's not the point. It's that she has this internal mindset of, it's up to me to continuously educate, yep, myself, learn, try things, investigate things. And it's just a different mindset. Yep. And I'm going all the way back to the Thomas Friedman book in 2005. It felt to me then, with the evolution of the internet and globalization, boy, that better be your mindset, because it's not graduate from college, get a job at the local company, work for 45 years and retire on your pension. That's just not the way the world works anymore.
Yep.
And I think it's just her mindset fits better with the reality of today.
Yep.
Well, here's a relevant example. I mean, like I said, I wanted this new job for a year. I was networking everything. I had an interview. Somebody reviewed my portfolio and stuff for a freelancing gig kind of thing, a freelancing network. And I got rejected. And I was like, you know, why wasn't I up to par and stuff? And they were like, you know, your portfolio could be better with storytelling. And also, we'd like somebody with more experience with research. So a big part of user experience design is you have to research users and how they're using it and what they need and how you can solve problems to best help whoever is using the end product. And I'd never really done research before. So I was like, okay. So I kind of went back to the drawing board, and this is a couple of months ago. This is probably in September of last year. I took 3 online courses, actually got my company to pay for them, my prior company to pay for them. Then going into another interview, I was able to talk about that. And I'm glad I did, because United asked a lot about research and how I've applied it, this and that. And I was able to just make more educated answers to their questions. I redid my whole portfolio. Like, I took a dedicated a week and I just redid the whole thing. I failed it, but it wasn't something that was like, oh, well, I guess you should just give up or, you know, whatever. It was okay. You know, you learned what you don't have. You learned what you need to learn to get to the next step. So
yeah, and that's exactly I think the mindset she learns. I still remember, she's like, I didn't get this job. You really wanted that job too.
Yeah.
You made a video. She made a custom video of everything. She's like, I didn't get this job. She's bummed. So it's kind of like, what are you going to do? And she's like, I'm going to take online research classes. I'm going to rework my portfolio and I'm going to go get another one.
Yeah.
And that's just what I like when I spend time with especially teenagers and youngs, 20, 22, 24, 26, asking questions. I don't hear that mindset. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's been, again, go all stop stealing dreams. I think to some extent, the education system just kind of beats it out of them.
Yeah. Well, it's a game. There are rules to the game and here's how it's played. And what you're talking about is an entirely different approach of, you know, I came up against
the rules.
Nobody, I didn't get picked. Therefore I've got to feel, you know, like I'm defeat by this. Like this is, this says something about my identity because I didn't pass the test. I got an F on the test. And your mindset instead is like, all right, this is a great learning, a great data point for me to go use and learn so I can do better the next time, which is an entirely different mindset than a lot of young people. And it's not to, you know, wag my finger at them. I felt that way coming out of school too, is I have to relearn or unlearn rather the bad habits of looking to somebody else to tell me what to do next or like how to go solve this problem in my own life that, you know, I can't pay my bills unless I solve this problem. There's no answer key you know. So that's awesome. We've covered so much, and we've been at this for a while, but there are a couple things that I'd love to wrap this up with. And what I love most is that you both have very rich, unique perspectives. Dad being in the parent seat through this transition, over different years, you know, having the privilege to watch Lauren go out and overcome these obstacles, have wild success. Lauren being that lived firsthand experience of, hey, I'm going to do something different, and I'm going to do it with confidence, and I'm going to do it with an openness to what comes my way. And when I find something, I'm going to lock in on it. I would love to hear, you know, whoever wants to go first, I would love to hear what advice you have, as a parent. What advice do you have for other parents out there who are approaching these conversations with their young adults, their kids, high school students, about what to do next, whether they are actively considering something other than college or not, or they're already set on that? What advice do you have for parents going through those conversations? And Lauren, on your side, what advice do you have for those young adults, high school students who are thinking about what to do, and how to have those conversations with their parents about what they want, whether it's college or not?
Yeah, I can start. I'll get the best I can a little bit from the parent perspective. I'd start with, Lauren actually sent me a tweet yesterday that says 52% of young adults now live with their parents, the highest rate ever, surpassing even the Great Depression. The most educated, and in parentheses, and most in debt generation in history did everything they were supposed to and got this. The system does not work. And so the first piece of advice I would give is the education system does not equal the people that are within it. There are tons of amazing people and amazing teachers and educators, and they care so much about the kids that are in their schools and that they educate. I don't doubt that at all. I saw so many teachers that Lauren had that cared so much about her. So that's not the point. The point is that the world has changed in less than a generation. It's changed dramatically. And so the first piece of advice is do some research, look into the information and data, and make sure that you understand how drastic that is. And that it is, there are kids exiting college today and they don't know what to do. And they are really not prepared with the way the world works today. And so the first piece of advice is just take some time and investigate that. The second piece of advice would be, you are going to, at least for a while, hear the things that I heard as a parent, which is, college isn't for everyone. Well, good for you, and terrible decision. You probably ruined your kid's life. And there's a socioeconomic thing to it, is that if everybody else's kids are going to college and yours isn't, it makes you look bad. The second piece of advice I would say is, and you got to get over that, you know, and really think about and look at all the options that are available for your kid, and do take the first priority as what is going to be, how do I help my kid best thrive, whether it's go to college or not? And then the last thing is, once you do that, and that's kind of the hardest part, is to get past not caring what other people think. Then it's just do research, talk to people like Praxis, right? Like Mitchell, I mean, this is selfish, shameless, but sign up for your blog. Your guys' blog is amazing, but it sign up amazing. For 10 other blogs. It's awesome, like Mitchell's, and just learn. Look at the other options that are out there. And if Praxis, like Praxis was great for Lauren, Praxis is not what her sister needs. It doesn't fit her, and that's okay. There's lots of other options for her. But just take the time to look at the options, because I promise you, once you do that, you will be blown away at the options that are available to you. And again, look at all of them. And if college turns out to be right with that investment of both time and money, then do it. But don't just assume it.
Yep. That's good. Lauren, what about you?
I agree with all of that. You know, especially the caring what other people are doing and say. I mean, I'm in a generation, I mean, we all are, where social media is crazy. I mean, you are comparing yourself constantly to other people. I remember, you know, staying at the office till 5 o'clock, you know, when I'm 20 years old, but seeing on Instagram that people are at parties or that they're traveling abroad on their, you know, exchange year. And I, you know, to be honest, I got jealous of some of that, you know. But comparison is really tough to deal with, and try not to do that as much as you can, because it can really harm your confidence. You might waver on your path. just stick to it. Stop trying to do things for other people. You know, when I first started, when me and my girlfriend first started dating, she was in school. She was getting her biotech degree. And I was like, you know, why do you want to learn this so much? And she's like, I don't know. Like, you know, I'm already in debt for it. And, you know, my mom always really wanted me to get a really good education and everything. And I was like, but are you doing this for yourself? Like, if you want to do it because you really want to work on whatever it is in a lab and you can see yourself doing that, go for it. Yeah. But at the end of the day, she was not doing it for herself. She was like, I don't, you know what? You're right. I don't really want to work in a lab. I don't want to have to go there. And, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to be a lab tech or whatever? You know, that's just keep your options open. Do everything for yourself first. You know, put yourself first. And another thing I think is just how quickly jobs are changing. Like, you know, I'm afraid, what if UX design gets taken over by artificial intelligence in certain sectors or whatever? Like, always be ready to pivot. Always be looking for more options for yourself. It's kind of going back to always responding to recruiters. You know, don't limit yourself at all. You know, the world is your oyster. All it takes is a quick decision and you could be on a flight to the other side of the world if you really want to, or not. Maybe your decision is, you know what, I want to make my own business. That night you can order a kit to start making your own business, or start throwing out, oh, here's some good emails I could make, or you know, whatever it is. You know, the art of comparison is definitely a bad one. And then another one is just, you know, just living, making sure you're doing things for yourself, because that's what's going to take you the furthest. You know, I'm a good designer because I love doing it. Like, I cannot tell you like how excited I am to wake up every morning and be like, oh, like I woke up this morning thinking about a problem I had to solve and I couldn't, I was going to snooze for 5 more minutes and I couldn't. My mind was like, nope, just get up, just go do it, start drawing it out, you know, and I wouldn't be there if I was taking a job because I thought that would be impressive to somebody. Yep. Or whatever.
That's awesome. I don't even have anything else to say after both of those. that's awesome. Thank you all both so much for your perspective, sharing more about your experience. I know this is a tough topic for a lot of people and I'm excited to share this. Excited to share your perspective and your brutal honesty about, you know, the ups and downs of making this decision, doing something different. So thank you both. This has been an awesome episode. I will share this. And if you're listening, a lot of links below coming from books we've mentioned, different episodes, podcasts, anything that we covered in here, we will drop below. So be sure to check those out and check us out on the next episode of Self-Directed soon.